Hey friend, welcome to the Good Gets Better podcast. I'm your host, Amber Vreeland, and on today's episode, we're talking about what the Bible has to say about surface-level, lukewarm Christians. But before we get into it, let's take a second and pray together. Dear Lord, thank you so much for another day. Lord, I pray that you would be so present within our day that we would recognize you, we would hear your voice, and Lord, that we would choose you over anything that the world tries to give to us or that the enemy tries to tempt us with. I pray over the moments where we are feeling defeated and where we just want to be left alone or isolated or where we feel that we are alone. Lord, I pray that you would show up in those moments, that you would fill us with peace and joy, that you would refresh our spirit, and that we would be filled with joy and zeal and excitement, Lord, about what you are doing, because you're constantly in the work of doing things behind the scenes for us, and it's such a blessing. So, Lord, thank you so much for all that you're doing that we can't see, and all the things that we've already seen, and all that we have yet to see. I pray that we would have hearts that are on fire for you, that the enemy wouldn't have any victory over us, or over our family or our friends. I ask that you would help us to speak about you to the people around us, that they would have ears to listen, and that you yourself would speak to them too. God, we want to see your kingdom grow and expand. And so we believe in that in Jesus' name. And we pray that you would bless this week. In your name, Lord, we love you. Amen. So before we get into what the Bible has to say about surface-level Christians and lukewarm Christians, I want to start off by giving a disclaimer, because this message isn't intended for us to go judge our friends or judge our family members as to whether or not they are surface-level Christians, but instead, this is to warn you of what could happen if we fall away from the Lord and allow ourselves to become lukewarm, or if we allow the world to affect us and to be used as a tool for those moments when you're feeling like discouraged. I don't know about you, but I have my moments sometimes where I'm going through a dark, rough season and I just want to be quiet. Like I almost lack interest in praying because of how discouraged and defeated I feel. And that's a really difficult thing to go through because we need Jesus in those moments. We need the peace that only he can give. However, the enemy's lies sound so nice sometimes. And that's why he's so deceiving, because he's a good liar. He's a good tempter. And so we just have to recognize that and fight against him. I hope that this message is actually an encouragement for you to keep fighting the good fight and to not give up on the Lord and to learn about him even more and to grow even deeper roots in his spirit and in his word and to have an even more firm and stable foundation in him, because it is so worth it. The truth is that it's easy to fall into surface-level Christianity and to become lukewarm, because that's what the enemy wants for you, because it disables you from being able to continue growing God's kingdom, and he'll do anything to keep you from doing that. And you can't make a big difference in the kingdom of God if you have one foot in the world and another foot in heaven. And surface-level Christianity isn't just when you are kind of feeling like separating yourself from God or giving up on him because you're feeling that defeat, but it also is, I know for myself at least, when I was initially beginning my faith and truly following Jesus for the first time, I would consider myself at that point a service level Christian and lukewarm because I just didn't know. There was a lack of understanding of what the Lord was capable of doing in my life and a lack of knowledge of scripture, things like that, which build your faith and build your foundation so much. However, there's also another side of surface level Christianity where you may believe that if you believe in God, then you can do whatever you want and there's no consequences for that and you don't have to repent for it because Jesus died for all of your sins, so you're all covered, which is not true, but it's something that the enemy really likes to convince you of. And a relationship with God is exactly what it sounds like. It's a relationship. So if you're not spending any time with him, and if you're only seeing him on Sundays when you go to church, then that's not much of a relationship. It's like barely there. And the more that you neglect him, the more he's going to feel neglected and he's going to be less present in your life. He's still going to be there because he's omnipresent. He's always around, always seeing everything and hearing everything. But you just may not see him moving as much in your life because you aren't talking to him. You aren't paying him any attention. And if you wouldn't treat one of your friends or family members the same way that you're currently treating God, then that's not a good sign. Because he is life-changing. He gives us the peace and the fruit of the Spirit that we need in order to be around our friends and our family and strangers and to be able to spread his love to them and to speak truth into them so that we can grow his kingdom. Ultimately, a relationship requires time. So you have to spend time with God in order to have a relationship with him. And quality time is one of the most important things in a relationship with God. Even Jesus in the New Testament takes time alone with God to pray to him. He separates himself and goes into areas of seclusion. He's not just a vending machine that you go to on a bad day or when you need something from him. So today I'm going to be sharing some scriptures about what it means to be a surface level, lukewarm Christian, but also the effects of it and what Jesus has to say about it and how important it is to be deeply rooted in your faith and to have a firm foundation. So here is the exact definition of a surface level Christian according to scripture. Luke 8, verse 11 through 15 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. I think what's so cool about that is that's literally the definition of what happens with a surface level seed. So a surface level Christian and a deeply rooted one, because the one that was just on the surface didn't produce deep roots and it ultimately did not reap a harvest. However, the seed that fell on good soil and was able to produce those deep roots produced a huge harvest as an outcome. I want to be someone who reaps a harvest. And the thing with reaping a harvest is it takes time. When you are actually planting something, it requires water and sunshine, and it also requires patience for it to grow. But the biggest thing with the harvest is there's also going to be resistance from the enemy, because the enemy wants to keep you from having a harvest. He wants to keep you from any good thing that could benefit the Lord. The enemy makes the bad path easy. It's a wide road, easy to walk on, quite tempting to walk on, actually, but that's also why scripture says that the road to heaven, the road to life with Jesus, is narrow. It's difficult. You have to pick up your cross and follow him. And I find a lot of people kind of turn away because of the difficulties that come with following Jesus. But it's so worth it. You reap a harvest that is so much greater than what the enemy could ever promise, because the enemy has to work with a budget. He can give you a little bit, but he can't give you much, and it's only temporary. And Luke 6, verse 47 through 49 talks about the difference between surface level and deeply rooted Christians. It says, "I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." So, when the storms of life come, it's important to have a firm foundation so that you aren't swept away and broken. And that firm foundation is Jesus, and knowing that he has your back and he loves you and you can trust in him. But when you don't have a foundation, when you don't have Jesus in your life, when the storms of life come, and they will come, you are left without that protection, without that promise of safety and security, and you are far more likely to be left broken and shattered because you don't have him with you. And I think what's funny about this is that he's talking about a foundation of a house, and he was literally a carpenter. I never thought about that until just now. What a fun little epiphany. That's amazing. There's also some severity when it comes to being a surface level Christian or being lukewarm. So this is what Luke 11 verse 23 says. "Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me." Not that long ago, I heard this story that I want to share with you, and I found it really eye-opening and encouraging. I can't remember who shared it, but I'll just try to relay it as best as I can. So basically, it goes like this. There is a man sitting on a fence, and on one side of the fence is the powers of hell, Satan, demons, things like that. And then on the other side of the fence is the powers of heaven, Jesus, and angels. And this man is sitting on the fence contemplating on whether he wants to be with Satan or if he wants to be with Jesus. And he's sitting on this fence and he decides that he doesn't want either. He doesn't want to go to hell, but he wants to be able to do his own thing and to live for the world and to live selfishly and for that not to be a problem. So basically, heaven is also kind of out of the picture because he wants to do his own thing and not follow Jesus. So he's still sitting on this fence, and the powers of heaven, Jesus, angel armies all leave and walk away. And then the enemy, Satan, demons, all that, they walk away as well. And this man is still sitting on the fence. And then Satan turns around and he says, oh, wait, I forgot someone. Hey, you, come with me. And he's talking to the man. And the man responds with, no, I'm not coming. I chose the fence. And then Satan responds with, the fence is mine. And when I first heard that example, I found it so good. And it's still such a wild picture because it goes to show that verse that I just shared of how if you're not working with Jesus, you are working against him. That fence is the enemy's. So if you are sitting in between and you don't want to pick the enemy or God, then you're living for the world and that's still with Satan. Scripture even says that we can't serve two masters because we will hate one and love the other. And the world is one master and God is another. The world is a selfish place. It's a place where Satan has a lot of authority, but Jesus is still number one and he has the victory and the final say. But the point is that you have to choose. You can't sit in the middle. There is no middle. It's either heaven or hell. But anyway, I found that example so eye-opening and just really cool. So I hope that you also found that really interesting. So there are a few things that can hinder people from wanting to devote themselves fully to the Lord. One of the things is believing that your sin, your plans, and your selfish desires are better than what the Lord has planned for you, which is such a misconception because the Lord created joy and fun and excitement, and there are so many incredible things that he has made on this earth and world that is so cool, and we are able to enjoy those things. And it just seems so clear to me that the Lord loves joy and happiness and fun. But people struggle to get out of that pattern of believing that there is better than what they've already experienced or what they want to do. So in Luke 5, verse 39, it says, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. And I'm using that verse because it's such a good example of how difficult it is to move on to a better option, move on to something that is better when you've grown comfortable with what you already have. And a lot of the times, the Lord calls us to go out of our comfort zone and grow because there is so much more out there outside of our comfort zone. And a lot of the time, like, your comfort zone can hinder you from your purpose. And another thing that keeps people from fully devoting themselves to the Lord is believing that the way that they act in their sinfulness is justified. And it says in Luke 5, verse 32, I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. So oftentimes what I see is when people find that their sin is justified, they lack humility and they also lack the ability to understand why they may need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Basically, if you aren't seeing anything wrong with the way that you act, that is a very difficult place to get out of. It even says in Scripture, if the light that you have within you is really darkness and you don't see it as darkness, then how deep that darkness is. So if someone doesn't recognize that something that they're doing is bad, that makes it even worse. And piggybacking off of that is believing that you can have a lazy relationship with God, basically treat him like a vending machine and only go to him when you have a problem. And so this is what Luke 6, verse 46 says. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? So when you go and you pray to the Lord for help from your problems, but you don't come to him with anything else or listen to what he's telling you to do or anything that he's trying to speak to you or even reading your Bible, then that's basically calling him Lord. But Lord is literally saying that he is Lord over your life. And when someone is Lord over your life, they have control over your situation and you give it to them freely. But when you're saying like, Lord, like, dear Lord, and then you go and ask for help from your problems, but with nothing else, then the Lord is just sitting there like, why are you calling me Lord right now when you don't even do what I say or listen to me? And then here are a few more verses of what the Lord says about being lukewarm or surface level, because he says a lot about this topic, actually. So in Mark 12, verse 24, Jesus replied, "Your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God." And then in Mark 4, verse 24 through 25, it says, "Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." And what I got from this is that not knowing scripture is dangerous because then you stand defenseless against the enemy. The Bible is literally called the sword of truth. It is what helps us to fight those battles. And when the enemy's lying to us, we're able to fight them off with scripture, with God's truth. And the more that we seek to understand God's truth and what he says, the more understanding will be given to us. But if we choose not to listen, then more of our understanding will be taken away, which is super dangerous. And then Mark 8, verse 35 through 38 says, "If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Is anything worth more than your soul?" The Lord tells us to die to ourselves, to pick up our cross and follow him. So the journey is difficult, but it has a beautiful destination. I remember when I was first starting to follow Jesus. I know that I believed the Lord and believed that he existed my whole life. And especially like when I was a little girl, I remember praying to him. But there's a moment in your life when you begin to have your own personal relationship with him and you truly follow him. And when I initially started following Jesus, I wanted to share about him and speak about him to my friends and on social media. And I found that it was so difficult because I had that roadblock of wanting to be a people pleaser. And it's that moment when you're just getting out of living for the world and living for yourself, and you're beginning to live more for the Lord. And that little season where you're kind of in between, you're kind of on the fence, it's really difficult to push past. But the more that I learned about the Lord, and the more that I developed my relationship with him and grew that, the more excited I became about him and the more excited I became about the information that I knew about the Lord. And the way it goes is when you are excited about something, when you are thrilled about something that's happening in your life, you want to share it with everyone. When I have good news about something going on, I want to share that with all of my coworkers, all of my friends, all of my family members because I'm just so stoked. It's like the news just bubbles over and comes right out of me, and I can't wait to share it. And that's how it becomes with your relationship with God. The more you learn about Him, the more you grow in that relationship, the more you want to share with others. Because when you're excited, you just can't help it. It just comes right out. And then people get to experience that joy that's coming right from you when you are sharing that good news. And I think that's also what's so cool about the gospel is it's called the good news. And everybody loves to receive good news. And I have one last scripture to share with you. It reminds me a lot of the parable that I shared earlier about the man on the fence. And it says in Revelation 3, verse 15 through 19, "I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing.' And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, an anointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference." I found that passage to be the most powerful, and that just really hit home for me because the Lord literally says here to not be hot or cold. Choose what you want. Don't be indifferent. So choose whether you want to follow Jesus or if you'd rather follow the world, your selfish desires, and ultimately experience the consequences of that. And the consequences of that are so much worse than the difficulty of the road and the path that it takes to reach life. That narrow path is ultimately so much easier and so much more worth it than the wide path that's easy for a little bit until it gets so much worse so fast. So, yeah, I'd rather have the narrow path, even though it can be difficult at times, even though it can be discouraging at times. It is worth it, and that is what I want you to get from this episode, that it is so worth it, and to not give up on Him, and to keep seeking Him, even when you're going through a difficult season. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope that it has encouraged you and motivated you in your relationship with Jesus. I would super appreciate it if you rated this podcast and make sure to follow so you can stay up to date for whenever a new episode drops. I'll chat with you again next week, and I hope you have an awesome rest of your day. Just remember, when you focus on the good and when you focus on God, the good gets better.